which included many thousands of cows, calves, horses, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Shigogoda. We all now know it's a medium-sized hill. However, because the hill was an ecstasy, being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power, and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Shigogodan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. From the Harivamsa, the Acharya has also quoted Shri Krishna himself as saying, Trailokya Mahyut Sahata Rakshitam Kim Puna Vrajam. Shri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds. What to speak of the simple land of Vraj? When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs, and other animals and birds, standing on the hill's flank, climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. Ataha bhagavan gopan embatata vridokasaha itopajosham vishata girigatam sagodanaha. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braj, if you wish, you may now come under the hill with your cows. Omagyana dimanandasam dinandanasalakaya tikshinamunikandevam padmai shi yurayi namaha panchkalpaturu vishtar kikasandhu vyevita dindana mahavayo vaishnavayo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shri Bhakti Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Today we celebrate Govardhan Puja. Hang on just a second. Go Puja, Go Krida, playing with the cows. You've reinforced the theme of my talk, I think, today. And Anakut, which is the offering of grain. Krishna is worshipped as Giridhari, Giribhadadhari, Govardhanadhari, not just by the Vaishnava traditions, or our own tradition, but others also, particularly the Pushtimad tradition. They have that picture of Shimati, or they worship them like that. That is called the Pushtimag, the path of nourishment. So this is very much perhaps part of the theme today, nourishment, Pushti. Actually, Vardhana, Govardhan, the after goal, Vardhan, means nourishment. So that which nourishes the cows. So the theme is, I was trying to think, what's the theme of this festival? And I'm already getting the feeling when I came in here that there is a very exuberant mood. One could almost say it's an excuse of pun, an uplifting festival. I don't know, different festivals have different moods, don't they? Because we're personless. I've never met any devotee who doesn't really like Govardhan Puja. other festivals, sometimes it's a little austere. Of course, we don't have to fast. Is that the reason? I'm not saying that. That's one of the reasons. I don't think it's the entire reason. Also, by the way, it's raining. And when I was bringing my umbrella, I was thinking, the whole idea of an umbrella. Sometimes we may share an umbrella, like here, with this medium-sized hill, which has grown a little bigger. There are a lot of people sharing this umbrella. So So sharing an umbrella, even in the material world, is a sign of intimacy. Hmm? Sometimes some husband and wife, they will share their umbrella. Hmm? They should have two. Yeah, we're divorced, you shouldn't do that kind of thing. Krishna is shown, there's one famous story, a picture, I think Sharma has done a version of that, where actually the rains, you can see in the background, the black clouds are coming, and Krishna is putting up his cloak to protect Srimati Radharani. So there's a kind of scene here of intimacy. So the spiritual world is full of, all our festivals are different somehow, they have different modes. Because the spiritual world is full of variety. An excess of variety, in fact, in the spiritual world. You'll find in any society that where there is culture, you'll find there is more nuance. You know the word nuance? Nuance means fineness of discernment.
Discernment.
Discrimination. Those who are musicians will know that actually in Indian music, this is classical music, very fine changes of notes and so on. Unfortunately, some of our music these days is quite coarse or gross. It's made by machines sometimes. Probably don't have that much discernment. Food, if you go there, like delicate tastes in food. Even vocabulary. It's interesting to note that, actually I was looking up on Vedabase, the number of words for love, 25,000 on the database, love. And knowledge, 31,000. So anyway, not much different. Bhakti Vedanta. Love and knowledge. It's unfortunate, we mentioned previously in the English language, we tend to use the word love to apply to many different objects of our affection, from hamburger to God, which is unfortunate. In the Vedic tradition, there are many words, sneha, priti, karma, also karma. I believe we can get a, if you go and see the wheel down there by the head house, there's also some demonstration of karma. Bhava means intimate affection and love, bhava. Prema and bhaktya. Srila Prabhupada translates bhaktya as with love, and then in brackets devotion. So that idea of devotion, bhaktya, is many words for love actually. And even for the word friend in Sanskrit, there are so many different words for friend. Srila Prabhupada gives us some idea of this in relationship to Krishna. This friend is giving us facility. Krishna is always our friend, natural friend. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, chapter 5, verse 29. Suridam means Surit. What does it literally mean, Surit? Yeah, good heart. See how deep this language is. Surit, good heart. In Sanskrit, there are different kinds of friends and there are different names. Just like one friend is called Bandhu. One is called Mitra. Another is called Surit. And there are differences. Therefore, there are different words. Just like in English language, there is only one word, friend. But in Sanskrit, because it is a perfect language, friend, what kind of friend? So Krishna says, I am Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Surit. Surit means that he's such a friend, just like you have got a friend. Sincerely he wants how you shall be happy. Just like your mother. Your mother is also a friend. Or wife, devoted wife. She is also a friend. So mother, wife, or any such relative or father, or there are any many persons in ordinary relationships. So they actually want my this friend should be happy. This is real friend, Surit. And Mitra, social friendship. Bandhu, official friendship. But Surit is one who actually desires good of his friend. Sincere friend, which you describe in English. So it's interesting, isn't it? There's different nuances of meaning. And that generally in any culture, you'll find the more cultured people actually appreciate the differences. Mm-hmm. In music, art, fragrance, drama, in so many ways. So as we progress towards spiritual life, we actually find there is greater variety, not less. And as we purify our senses, we begin to actually appreciate these differences. We cannot remain dull and become Krishna conscious. And how is variety most, what's the word, most expressed? How is variety expressed? More than, or variegatedness is the word that she looked. I couldn't find it, but my spell checker rejected the word variegatedness. Mm-hmm. But anyway, scholars do make up words. Yeah? So Srila Prabhupada made up words. Variegatedness. So how is it expressed? You tell me. Yes. Huh? Song? Could be, yes.
Nature
is very varied, yes. And that's the big yes. Yes, personality. Yes. Personalities are most complex. Yeah. Personality. Actually, Shri Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill was actually a way of showing his supremacy over Lord Indra. Indra, he's a devotee, but he got somewhat puffed up with his position and didn't recognize Krishna. And of course, he became upset with Krishna because Krishna advised his father and all the cowherd men, don't offer the yajna to Lord Indra. And there were many arguments going on. Krishna argued very expertly using the Kama Mimamsa philosophy, which is one of the six darshans. And somehow he convinced his father to give up that yajna. But because Indra was proud, he became very upset, even though he's a devotee. So, in a sense, he's showing here, well, two things are mentioned. One is telling us, according to Srila Prabhupada, that we shouldn't worship the demigods. Why? Because all the results are temporary. They'll pass away. And secondly, whatever results we can get from the demigods, we can also get from Krishna. For two reasons. But there's also another point that's being made, and that is actually Krishna is the Supreme Person, despite there being many other devas. So he's not supporting the Advaita philosophy, which generally holds that all the gods are equal. They're all the same. Many Hindu gentlemen, you can meet them, most of them in the UK, you have many Hindu, ethnic Hindu people. Most of the gentlemen will proudly tell us that actually all the gods are the same. And unfortunately this is generally presented as representative of all Hinduism. This Advaita philosophy is often presented, regrettably. There are certain places, I know that Oxford University is now very proud, these scholars, that they understand that this isn't the truth. Because I was with a dinner with one professor, Richard Gombrich, who was the head of Sanskrit. He's retired now. He has a Bengali wife. He's English, very English. And at one point someone was saying, all the university, the academics, they seem to present Hinduism as purely the Advaita philosophy. And he said, not here in Oxford, you know. And he was... There is a change going on. We should know that, because actually the personalistic philosophy is very, very prominent within our tradition, within our broader tradition. So basically, variety is there in spiritual life, and variety is expressed through personality. But we perceive differently because we're individuals, don't we? But we do all like Lord Dhampuja, I think. We could explore that. What's so special about Govardhan Puja? But we do perceive differently. One gentleman tried to trick Srila Prabhupada by asking him, can Krishna make it a hill so big that he cannot pick it up? Great question. And see if Srila Prabhupada's sharpness. Yes. And then he will pick it up. So this is the non-devotional attitude. We're trying to somehow find fault in the philosophy, find fault in Krishna. That's the non-devotional attitude, because according to our mentality we perceive. There's another gentleman once accused Lord Krishna of being an adulterer, which is transcendent. But Srila Prabhupada asked him, he said, and who is Krishna? Bhagavan. And does Bhagavan own everything? Yes. Said, so you're an adulterer. That is Krishna's wife. And you're thinking, this is my wife. So it's natural if we have someone we're envious of, if we have an enemy, someone we dislike, then if anyone mentions something good about them, we feel very upset. We have personal experience. As devotees, we shouldn't have friends and enemies. It happens. That's our nature anyway in the world, in this material world. And if you love someone, then they're very beautiful. Even sometimes a not so good looking child will be called Padmalochana. that happens. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Galochanena Sandaksadaya Hideyeshu Balokayanti Yam Sam Sundrama Chintaguna Sarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is Shama Sundra, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their hearts of hearts, with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. I think salve here means like a master or something. Mastara? Yeah? Same thing? Something like that. So when that is put on the eyes, but it's love that we put on the eyes, then we can see Krishna. So therefore, those of us who love Krishna, we praise his activities and we like his day. Even though it's somewhat inconceivable, after all, it was only a medium-sized mountain. But still Krishna picked it up with his little finger. And the significance of it, even in everyday life, we sometimes talk about the little finger as being very, very delicate. So the little finger of his left hand. Krishna, it seems that Krishna wasn't left-handed, like some of us. So with his little finger, he picked it up. So it's actually, that's the truth. But even if it wasn't a great feat, because we love Krishna, then we think it's a great feat. But there's some others who don't think that. There's a quote here I've got somewhere. Oh yes. Kamsa once rebuked Akrura by saying, this is Kamsa, speaking to Akrura, you are such a fool that you are accepting a cowherd boy to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply because he defeated some harmless water snake. You've seen the pictures of Kalia. The boy may have lifted one pebble called Govardhan Hill. But what is more surprising than this is is your statement that this boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To see the power of envy. But according to here, in the purport, what does it say here? Very interesting statement. From the Harivamsa, the Acharya is also quoted, Sri Krishna himself as saying, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds. What to speak of the land of Braja? So I think probably one of the themes of today is the ability for Krishna to give shelter to everyone, not just to the residents of Braj. Imagine everyone was there, cows, all kinds of animals, women, children, old people, everyone. This is significant because Srila Prabhupada explains that any society can be measured by how much five categories of citizen are protected. Some may object to us using the word citizen for animals, but praja is used in the Vedic language. Praja, one who is born, the animals are also citizens. So the five categories are women, children, old people, what's the other one? Brahmins, and the elderly. Have I said that wrong? Yes, cows. Actually, according to Mahatma Gandhi, he actually says that he interprets cows to mean all animals. So they're kind of symbolic. I mean, generally we think of the lion as being the king of the animals. But according to our tradition then, if you are about to take birth as a human being, coming from the animal species, we come one of three ways. Either we come into the human, our human sojourn, a life or two, or several lives, through the monkey, in which case we're predominantly in tamagun, or we come through the lion, who's in rajagun, or we come through the cow, sattva-gun. So in a sense, the most elevated animal is the cow. So therefore, cow means, in a sense, all animals. So we can actually consider any society, how well does it look after these five? And regrettably, not very well. And they seek shelter naturally in others. The child seeks shelter in the womb. The animal seeks shelter in the human being. Srila Prabhupada gives an example on one walk where near Juhu Beach, and he said on the walk, see, one dog, he came up to us. He was thinking, here are some Vaishnavas. Let me take shelter in them. But you went, hut, hut. So he was explaining, that's natural. Prakriti and Purush. We want some shelter somewhere, naturally. And even though it's not popular now, then a woman naturally wants shelter from a man. Man is thinking, I'm Purush. Of course he's Prakriti, but he's thinking, I'm Purush. Definitely the male has that controlling mentality. And the ladies have to respect that. but now, who's giving shelter? As soon as there's some problem, immediately I go away. The animal is taking shelter in the farmer, but he kills them, slaughters them. Elderly people, usually they're put in homes these days and forgotten about. And Brahmins, what Brahmins? But generally the Brahmins or those who pass as Brahmins or the equivalent in any society are not respected. Of course, part of the problem is those who are leaders are not up to the standard. and therefore people object. It's very interesting to look at our own society as well. Can we actually give shelter ourselves as representatives of Krishna to these five groups of living beings? Very, very important for us to consider this. What time can I go until? No, give me a time, please. I'm working.
Quarter to.
Okay, fine. Another theme here, returning to, as well as protection, is nourishment. Nourishment doesn't just mean food, does it? Food is somehow symbolic, isn't it? Even milk is so symbolic. We're talking about Surik, friend, close to the heart. In Vedic astrology, the fourth house represents the mother, the heart, one's close friends, milk. So those things, this pushti is really important, that we feel somehow nourished in life. And it's mentioned somewhere, perhaps tell me where, by the process of devotional service one gets that pushti and tushti. I think tushti means satisfaction, pushti means nourishment. So when we're full nourished, we have a fullness about us. It's interesting to know how Srila Prabhupada, even though he was very austere, didn't sleep very long and so on, he had this fullness about him, not what I call a scrawny renunciation. Give me renunciation. There's that fullness. Puna. Srila Prabhupada explained something about the environment and economics here, because the Vaishya community, the community in Braj, they were Vaishyas. Nanda Maharaj had many cows. He belonged to the Vaishya community. So this is very relevant to the modern debates about economics. I'll read something here. Bhavanti Bhutani, Anat. Anna means food grains. So today's Anakut. Either animal or man, they must eat sufficiently. Either you eat grass, or you eat rice, or wheat, or oats, or something must be. That is called Anna. In Sanskrit language, it is called Anna. Anna means food grains. It also means generally food, by the way. Just like sometimes we say, let it be thy bread. Bread is the term sometimes used for food in the English language, as in the Bible. Nowadays there is a scarcity of food grains. Even the humans cannot eat sufficiently. But formerly the kings, they used to maintain elephants. And they were supplied very nice chapatis. Do you know that? I was surprised to read this. Still there are kings and they have elephants. Therefore an elephant can be maintained by a very rich man. Suppose if someone says to you, take this elephant, I will give it you free. Will you take it? Will you accept? You know that elephants will devour you, all your means or income, and all family income, because you cannot maintain an elephant. So we should know. I'm not sure where they were busted. Srila Prabhupada goes on. Therefore in India sometimes, 100 years ago, some students would come to England, especially London, and take a European English wife. In old days they were doing that. So people would say, this man is maintaining one white elephant. Because a European wife means very much expenditure. So Mr. P.R. Das, he was a high court judge, so he was taking a bribe on account of maintaining a white elephant. He married one European wife. The expenditure was very high. As a high court judge, he was getting only 4,000 rupees and his expenditure was 10,000 rupees. Therefore he was taking a bribe. So when he was detected by the Chief Justice, he was dismissed from the post. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, that's the expression white elephant. I believe there are some white elephants, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, the elephants are very expensive to maintain. But they had so much food grains that they could actually feed the elephants. And of course, even now, when we're making meat, producing meat, or the non-devotees producing meat, those animals need food grain. And many economists are recognizing that actually it's more efficient to give the grain directly to human beings than to give it to animals that then eat the animals. What to speak of the humanitarian consequences. Ana bhavanti bhutani. Bhutani means embodied, those who have taken a body. They live by eating anna, either animal or human being. You require anna, produce food grains. Food grains or grass or anything, as the animals eat and man eats, you must produce. And that production is there on the ground, not your factory. Not in the Birmingham factories. Birmingham is a town in the UK. There are many factories in Birmingham. Yeah, there are. Or in Liège, if you've seen that. It's a wonderful factory in Liège. Why they don't do something about it. I believe it's owned by one Hindu gentleman, Mr. Lakshmi Mittal. Someone told me the name of the company is either Ugra. And I don't know whether that's just a rumor or not. But it really is an eyesore. But what does it produce? You can't. And actually, I read on the BBC News website just a little while ago. It was saying such and such developing country, 7 in 10 people are still working the land. That was meant to be an expression of dismay at how it's still a developing country because 7 in 10 people work on the land. Where do you get your food from? It must come from the land. Simple economics. There are some interesting lessons here anyway. And of course, it probably rests with us to actually apply some of these teachings in our own lives. Of course, there are debates about how much we can actually adopt simple living right away. But still, there are some ideals here that we need to be able to make a contribution to the current environmental debates. Srila Prabhupada explains the need to actually how our knowledge must be put into practice. That's very, very practical. Now, he is a very good teacher. He is very good. He can very nicely explain a subject matter, but his private life is not very good. Then he is not a teacher. He is not a sadhu. That is the Vedic conception. One must be a teacher according to his or her own behavior in life. There is no secrecy or privacy. That doesn't mean, of course, that we're not entitled to have our secrecy and privacy. We shouldn't invade other people's privacy. But at the same time, there's no private life in the sense that we're trying to hide something. Now we think that we don't mind what is private character. We don't mind. We are simply concerned with his teaching. No, that sort of teaching will have no effect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivari Shikshaya, a teacher must demonstrate in his practical life what he is teaching. That is the meaning of Acharya. That means we all should be Acharya, by the way, not in the sense of becoming head of an institution or so on, but in setting an example for others. I'll read another verse because I think the whole festival of Govardhan Puja is so relevant to these issues. So we should always remember that this Krishna consciousness movement is for all-round development of the human society, not a sentimental religious movement. Sometimes we define ISKCON as a religion against other faiths. We may be a little thoughtful about this. If people take to this, and it is based on the teachings of Krishna, on the teachings of Bhagavatam, everything is described there. So the more we grow, or grow in strength, rather because we are weak now, people do not understand the seriousness of this movement. But the more we grow in strength and volume, we should take part in all-round activities of the human society to make them happy. Sarve sukhine bhavantu. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. This is the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture wants to see everyone happy. Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, Srila Prabhupada lecture on verse, Canto 1, chapter 8, verse 40, on the 20th of October 1974. So actually this is really the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's the purpose of the individual members also to be happy. Actually we have a responsibility to be happy, by the way. We shouldn't think I should be unhappy somehow, when I came to the temple room, albeit late, about 7:20 this morning, there was such a powerful atmosphere in this room. Palpable. This is Krishna consciousness. We should be happy. Beware of us thinking, I should be unhappy. That's a sign I'm Krishna conscious. No, we should be happy. Of course, there will always be a struggle, and we don't want to become bliss junkies. That we're always seeking bliss. Our business is to serve. Bliss junkies, yes. We think that's the standard. Yeah, I'm happy, therefore this is good. But sometimes our business is to serve. But still, this is our business, and to make other people happy as well. And we have an intimate relationship with everyone, actually. This is the matter. If you look at all the problems in the world, what are they based on? In fact, every single one is based on the bodily concept of life. Because there is some kind of dissent between men and women, Jews and Muslims, black and white, young and old, rich and poor. Analyze any of the news articles. Frankly, they're all based on those divisions, aren't they? So what have we got to what? We have such a... And they're trying to get it all worked out with diversity. How do we accommodate? We're all equal, but how do we accommodate diversity? We celebrate diversity and everyone's equal. How do we account for diversity? And here we see, actually under the hill, it's mentioned there are all types of people from different varnas or stations of life. It's also mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions, I think it's in the Krishna book, that everyone was fed. Prabhupada said, we're not so favorable towards dogs, but still the dogs and the cats were also fed on. That's duty also. He said, we've got nothing against dogs and cats. They must all, we don't live with them. There are some areas actually where devotees are getting a passion of keeping dogs and cats. I won't say where, but I happen to be in a house with a cat. And, good. We don't dislike the cats, but to live with them, to have that cat tanga, cat tanga and cat tanga. But actually, that doesn't mean that we don't have affection for the cats and the dogs and everything. They also take shelter of us sometimes. The devotees can deliver, like Shivananda saying, he delivered a dog, turned it away, took shelter of him. Somehow or other it attained the spiritual world. Sarve sukhine bhavantu, that's the meaning. This umbrella is very intimate. At the same time, it can actually embrace everyone. There's a lot of talk about inclusion, inclusivity. How do we accommodate that? But here's the idea. Give up those material designations. We know, yes, I've got an English body, I've got a male, but we know that. We're not stupid. We have to recognize this. But also, the fact we know that shows that there's a higher, there's a seer who's above that. We're looking at this body. We know. This is my nature, this is how I am, I'm English, I've got a bad sense of humour, and so on. We recognise some of those things, but we know that I'm above those things. So intimacy, we have an intimate relationship with Krishna, and an intimate relationship with everyone. And I know those who are Sankirtan devotees, sometimes when you're distributing books, you feel that. Not always. But sometimes we get that. Yes, everyone, we understand them. He is a true yogi who understands the equality of all living beings, both in their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. This is the yogi. To finish off, a couple of stories. The Vyasas, they're the friends of Krishna, in Vrindavan, are in such intimate friendship with Krishna that sometimes they think themselves as good as Krishna. Here is an instance of such friendly feeling. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his left hand, the Vyasas said, "Dear friend, you've been standing for the last 7 days and nights without any rest. This is very troublesome for us, because we see that you have undertaken a severely laborious task. We think that you need not continue to stand in this way, holding the hill. We can just transfer it to Sudama's hand." If you think that Sudama is not able to support this medium-sized Govardhan Hill, then at least you should change hands. They were so close to Krishna, they... Gopal, would you like to take over lifting up the Krishna? You're about, must be the same age, Gopal. Gopal, you should be able to lift it with a name like that. Transfer it to your right hand so that we can give your left hand a massage. That's also intimacy, isn't it? Massage. This is an instance of intimacy showing how much the Vyasas consider themselves to be equal to Krishna. So spiritual life is full of everything, actually. We don't lose anything. It's so rich, it is so bountiful. And this story is really about bounty, nourishment, completeness, wholeness. Everything is there. And Krishna has all kinds of... he's God, but he also is shy. Who would imagine? Sometimes we see God with the white beard. He looks maybe a little dry. But it's definitely not shy. Let's try. As described in the Lalita Madhava, Krishna's shyness was manifest when he lifted Govardhan with the little finger of his left hand. All the gopis were observing Krishna's wonderful achievement, and Krishna was also smiling to see the gopis. We have this intimate umbrella here. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, he's a young man, he was looking also. And naturally the breasts and the hips of a young lady are attractive, you know. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, his hand began to shake. And upon seeing his hand shake, all the cowherd men underneath became disturbed. Then there was a tumultuous roaring sound, and they began to pray to Krishna for safety. At this time, Lord Balaram was smiling, thinking these cowherd men had been frightened by the shaking of Govardhan Hill. Of course, Balaram's thinking, you know, there's no real danger here. So he was smiling to himself. But Krishna saw Balaram's smile. And Krishna thought that Balaram had understood his mind. And he immediately became bashful. It's also mentioned there was some kind of concealment. He was trying, sometimes when we do something, we have a thought, we try and conceal it by doing something else. So just see how everything is there in the spiritual world. It is personal, and we rejoice in that personhood. And somehow or other, even though we may not have full realization, somehow by being in the association of devotees on days like that, we feel that close connection with the devotees and also with Krishna, the Supreme Person. Therefore these festivals are very uplifting. And you can share with me if you like, how do you find this festival? I'd be interested to hear what your feelings on Govardhan Puja. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Radha Giridhari ki jai. Questions or comments, please? before we take prasad. Mana Harapabu?
I was just thinking how wonderful it is that although we understand very clearly that Krishna is supremely powerful and compared to living entities, there's practically no possibility to compare how much superior he is in power and all other opulence. Still we see that for example Indra, and also comparison here Sudama is coming up, that he gives this possibility to such insignificant beings to feel so as powerful practically as him.
Most observation. Generally in the material world, when we're a big man, then we kind of only want to associate with other big men or women. Yeah. I saw a picture once of on a program about body language, and what this one gentleman just tried out, went and approached Tony Blair, who's the Prime Minister of England there, and shook his hand. The Prime Minister, he didn't know the Prime Minister, and the Prime Minister was visibly ruffled. Some common person come and shake his hand. I think that's all I would say. Maybe not. But that's generally, as soon as we get a position, then we think, I cannot associate with those people. But the Supreme Lord is gracious, and yet he associates with everyone. He's prepared. Is that your point, Manhar? Yes, such mercy. Any other comments or points? How do you find this festival? What are your words? One or two, just to finish off. Fulfilling. That's the next word. Exquisite. Discernment again. Exquisite. Men? Yes.
We are open festival. People have nothing to do with writing. It's still there on the cards.
It's very opulent. Open. Yes, it's open to other people. Other thoughts? Kumari.
I find that it's
very
going through, it's always a
parking
thing. Parking people are already kind of in the mood. It's like build up. And at least America is a huge building. So you have your build up phase. And a lot of people are taking a shot there. And what comes when it comes, and it's kind of like acquiring through austerity. So, I mean, for me, that's one of the reasons that it's one of the
It's like a party. Yeah. We want to party, don't we? Someone was saying to me the other day, I was Mark, probably you were telling me how in Barcelona everyone tries to party and you didn't like it. That's true, there, but we also have our parties. That's natural.
Flourishing, like filling the battery.
Yes.
Like charging the battery.
Charging the batteries. Nourishment. Charging the battery from Lord Indra's thunderbolts. There's a lot of power.
Well, we all know that Kira is like screams a lot, so usually there's a lot of prasadam on this
festival. Yeah, there's a lot of prasadam. So it's a sweet festival. Krishna is sweet. Give up our humanity, our feelings. It's not possible. And then anyway, we must see that. So this festival is This is about it.
There was one scholar who came to Govan for the tourist time. This was, you know, we had a mountain of food there, all the food and everything. And but their comment was that happy and holy.
Happy and holy.
Because in Christian, in other countries, in England, if you go to Christian church, it seems very solemn and dignified.
That's true, you see. I mean, we respect Krishna as being the supreme. We have to worship the deity with some awe and reverence in our immature state. But still, there is also that feeling of intimacy. It raises the question, what do we mean by worship, actually? What do we mean by worship? You know, it's really an exchange of love, actually. That intimacy. Yes, Rick.
You know, if you pass that, that everybody is involved.
Everybody is, yeah, in this past, actually, in other past times, there are certain actors and actresses in this divine leela who are there. But here, everyone's on the stage underneath the umbrella.
Like my son also mentioned, that it's actually their favorite pastimes of all residents of Vrindavan.
Really?
Because they finally could see Krishna 7 days straight. I also feel that it's like Guru said, it's very, everybody's together. Everybody's under the mountain, so I think that all these also feel like it's a very, you know, everybody's involved equally.
Yeah, it's very inclusive. An intimate as well. Yeah. One or two more comments, please.
And I think with the relationship with Krishna and the devotees, it's illogical.
Yeah,
I don't care for logic. I mean, it's just logical. And it's so nice, actually. It's just so.
Yeah, love is like that, isn't it? Love is blind. Yeah? In this world or in the spiritual world, actually. It's blind. When there's affection, then, it's a fact. That's about Sivadanta again. Actually, we need to also be not just sentimental first. We need to have knowledge. But ultimately, love is what rules the heart. That's the process of bhakti. If the heart is rightly situated, then the mind will follow. Ever notice when you have good prasad and all your philosophical doubts go away? Kind of natural, when you're satisfied. Very often actually, philosophical doubts come from philosophy. What is it Shakespeare said? I think he said that actually the fruit of suffering is philosophy. It's a good fruit.
Now, philosophy calls it discussing social, and many philosophers that try to reform society. Organized purpose society, so Aristotle says, if somebody cannot or does not like to live in a community, it must be a god or beast. But it's interesting that in our tradition, with God, he's not like self-sufficient, but he most importantly so spirit is devoted. So Krishna, he did so many things just to organize this festival 7 days to be all the time with his devotees, so it's kind of... But there's so much of the guy is self-sufficient, he doesn't need anything.
He doesn't need anyone, but still he does, in a sense. Yeah, that's a fact. So Aristotle said that he must be God or a beast. Yeah, that's not a very good comparison, I don't think. Yeah. Just see, it's very interesting. I mean, the whole I'm trying to find out what the essence of this is, what this festival is. But it's clear that actually, again, that these loving relationships are so much a part of our living, our life, and we can never try to give that up in the name of spiritual life. Even if we do, we are renunciants. It is simply because we have that inner relationship with Krishna. Shiva was once asked, do you actually see the super soul, or is this like some kind of voice? No, the pure devotee sees Krishna. an intelligent face to face, not just some kind of voice coming from the sky that comes to her. It is actually Krishna is there, face to face. That is the relationship that the pure devotee has. So, really.
This last time when we went to Krishna with our own children, and he always wants to help us, just really up to us to kind of go. Because none of them were saying, no, no, we don't need, you know, this is one that they know, we can't find it out. And then it actually makes really happy, you know, that taking shelter.
Yeah. Good point, we take shelter of other things. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada was even saying as a study for this, he was saying before I was coming to the West, he said I was concerned that I was giving up the shelter of my family. But Krishna gave me a bigger family. Yeah, so take the shelter of Krishna when there's difficulty. Because unfortunately, rain will come in this world. We can't stop that. But we can put up an umbrella. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Giridhar ki jai, Shri Gopadan ki jai, all the Premanandi.